Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we're going to hear from some of our youth, and I'd like to welcome first Will Crosby. He's a senior at Kenmore East. He's going to come up to the lectern and share a little bit of what God's been doing in his life. Then we'll hear from Caden Socha, who's our, by the way, Will's an acolyte, the 915, and then Caden, our acolyte 11. And then we'll hear from Lucas Summer. He'll round it out. He is a seventh grader in the Williamsville School District, and Caden is a freshman at Kenmore East. So I'd like to welcome Will to the lectern.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Will Crosby. I'm 17 years old, and I've attended St. Bart's since I was 3. I've grown up in a Christian home. From the start of my life, my parents taught me about Christianity and the Bible. They read the Bible to me, as well as many different stories that reflect the teachings of the Bible. We would also pray at every meal and before we went to sleep. As I grew up, they taught me about the good and bad of the world, and not to trust in material things. I would not be where I am today without their teaching and guidance. I started attending St. Bart's 14 years ago. Through my years here, I've attended Sunday school and participated in Vacation Bible School. I was confirmed here in 2013 when I was in eighth grade. Everything that I have learned up to this point has set me up to be the person I am today, but I could only go so far. My parents and church have taught me a lot about the Christian faith, but eventually it was time for me to take a step of my own. Around the time that I started confirmation class, I began to read my Bible at home. I was interested in what the Bible had to say, and I wanted to learn more. I now see that this was the start of God pulling me to Him. It would be 2 more years before I fully took a step of faith. When I entered sixth grade in the fall of 2010, I began to get involved with the St. Bart's Youth Group. Although youth group was great, and I did learn a lot about the Christian faith, I stopped attending meetings. This is not because there was anything wrong with the youth group, but I just didn't feel the need to go. I would not attend again until 3 years later. At the end of ninth grade, I decided to attend youth group again. I believe the meeting I attended was the last one of the school year. I can still remember how nervous I felt as I returned to this place that I hadn't been at for 3 years. It turns out that this was the most important youth group meeting that I would attend yet. After the meeting, my mom and I were talking to Deacon Reitz, and he mentioned that there were a few spots still open for Kingdom Bound. I'd never considered going to Kingdom Bound before, but now that I had the opportunity, I decided to go. It turns out that there were just enough spots left for my mom, my sister, and I, and we realized that this was more than just a coincidence. This was the year God wanted us to come to Kingdom Bound. Kingdom Bound 2014 was the place where I began to know God on a more personal level. I can still remember the words of the singer at the concert on the first night and how they had moved me, and how I was continually moved by what I experienced over those 4 days. Through those 4 days, I learned about God as more than just a ruler in the sky. I learned that He loves me, and He wants me. Kingdom Bound 2014 was where I fully committed my life to Jesus, and this was just the start of my walk with God. After Kingdom Bound, my life changed. I had a new passion to serve God, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. Before Kingdom Bound, I didn't listen to music, and I hated singing. The most I listened to were soundtracks for Star Wars and the TV show Merlin. After Kingdom Bound, I began to listen to Christian music and radio. I began to buy CDs from many different Christian singers, and I couldn't get enough. As I listened to this music, I began to learn more and more about God and the teachings of the Bible. The music also changed me in another way, a way that I did not fully realize until this past Christmas. As I said, I hated singing, but as I listened to the music, I began to sing along, at first in my head, and then out loud. It wasn't until this past Christmas pageant that I actually sang in front of a group of people, and this was something I'd never think I could do. So don't tell me that there isn't a God. In 10th grade, the school year just after I attended Kingdom Bound, I became involved in my school's Bible club. Here, along with Deacon Reitz and another teacher in my school, I developed my faith by reading and studying the Bible. It wasn't enough to keep this passion I had for Christ to myself, I wanted others to know. The main way that I did this was by incorporating my faith into my schoolwork. For example, I wrote an essay in English about the Gospel of John. In 11th grade, the Bible Club's membership grew. Because of this, we were able to do more to promote the club in the school. The biggest event that we ran that year was a showing of the movie God's Not Dead in the school's auditorium on a Friday evening. We put a lot of work into this event, and while only around 20 people attended, we ministered to many others while promoting the event in school and talking to those who asked what was going on in the auditorium while we were showing the movie. In school that year, I worked to incorporate my faith more and more into everything I did. As I did this, I noticed that people were beginning to realize that I was a Christian. About halfway through the year, I began to carry a Bible around with me in school. Just sitting in the lunchroom or library and reading it allowed me to meet people that I would never have met otherwise. I began to incorporate my faith into Boy Scouts as well. I would plan and run a religious service at every Scout event that I would attend. I also found that much of what we learn in Scouts is also taught in the Bible. When I talk about what we learn in Scouts, I'm not referring to knots and fire building, but the core values of Scouting, such as the duty to God, country, others, and self, and being trustworthy, friendly, obedient, clean, and reverent. Scouts has also taught me, also teaches different leadership styles, but the one it most promotes is servant leadership. This is simply explained as serving first and leading second. Jesus is the perfect example of servant leadership, especially when he washes the disciples' feet. This is an example of servant leadership because it shows Jesus, the Son of God, taking on the role of a servant, not a leader. In November 2015, I attended Footsteps, a youth retreat held in Erie, Pennsylvania. This, like Kingdom Bound, was another big step for me in my walk of faith. Here I met many youth who had the same passion that I did. I learned about God's grace and his mercy, and met people who said that it was okay to fail because God will always love us and always want us. In April 2016, I returned to Footsteps on team or staff. In doing this, I learned more about the importance of prayer and the many different ways to pray. Also in April 2016, I went on my first mission trip. For this trip, the youth group traveled to Webster Springs, West Virginia, and helped many people who were in need. I, along with a couple other people from the youth group, helped a woman clean out and begin to repair a room in her mobile home. This was a very humbling experience. One of my favorite moments from the mission trip was when we worshiped with a group from Florida that was staying in the same church that we were. It was an amazing experience worshiping with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. In this moment, I saw what the church should really look like, people who don't know each other coming together to praise the God that they all know and who knows them. Moments like this have shown me the special connections that Christians have that aren't normally seen between people. Over the past 2 years in school, I've worked on a large essay that I have to write for a program that I'm a part of. Because this essay is very time-consuming, I was told to write it about something that I'm interested in. I chose to write it about Christianity's impact on the founding of the United States. I did this because I'm not only interested in this topic, but also because I wanted my faith to be involved in one of the most important things that I will be doing in all my years of school so far. At the beginning of this year, 12th grade, I had to apply for colleges. When applying to colleges, I had to write an essay. After thinking about how to start my essay for a while, I decided to start it with this quote: "I don't want to be a leader. I want to be a follower." This is a quote from Mike Donaghy, the lead singer of my favorite band, 10th Avenue North. I chose this quote because it goes against the common perception about leadership that one should be a leader, not a follower. This idea about being a follower really made me think, because most of my life I've been taught to be a leader. What Mike explains after this quote is that we as Christians are called to be followers of Christ. That means that all we have to do is follow God. We don't need to try to make our own path. God has already made one for us. Mike even says that Jesus was never called a leader, but instead he did the will of his Father in heaven. I chose this quote because I want whatever college I go to know about my faith and how important it is to me, and how I want to live as a follower, not a leader. Throughout these past 3 years, since Kingdom Bound 2014, I've found people who are interested in my faith and others who make a joke out of it. There's a song by the band Sidewalk Prophets called Something Different that talks about there being something in Christians that makes them different from others, and people notice this. Therefore, I'm glad whether someone's interested in my faith or making a joke out of it, because it means that I'm showing them what my faith is. It means I'm being something different. It means I'm showing people what I truly believe. There's a book that my mom read me as a child called With You All the Way that I find myself thinking about a lot. It's about three knights who are given a quest by a prince to travel to the king's castle. He says that whoever reaches the castle first will have the princess's hand in marriage. To reach the castle, they will have to travel through a dark forest. The way to get through the forest is to listen for the song that the king plays on his flute. The problem is that there are beings in the forest that all play similar songs. The only person who knows the same song as the king is the prince. Each of the knights has their own unique ability, and each are allowed to bring one companion with them. Once they have each chosen a companion, they leave for the king's castle. A few days later, one of the knights appears at the castle. When he is asked how he found his way through the forest, he reveals his companion, the prince. I have always enjoyed this story because of how well it explains our walk as Christians. We all have our own unique abilities, but we can only truly make it through this life by listening to the song of our Prince Jesus to lead us to our King, God. This song can be heard through all areas of our lives, whether we expect it or not. It is heard in the Bible, through the singers and speakers who share about Christ, as well as the least of these, and those we don't think it would come from at all. My goal in life is to listen for Jesus playing the Father's song, because I know it's there, for he is with us all the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Now we're going to hear from Caden and a youth outreach that he was a part of.
Good morning. My name is Caden. I'm 14 years old. Many of you know me. I've been going to St. Bart's my whole life. I've been attending youth group for a few years now. Last summer, I went to a community outreach week called Breakout. This event was hosted at New Covenant Church. There were youth groups from all over the area. There was even a youth group from a church in Virginia. I was the only one from St. Bart's that went. I didn't know anyone. But throughout the week, I met a lot of new people that I still keep in touch with. It was cool to meet people from other churches and connect with other youth groups. The first day, they split us into groups that was our main group for the week. We did everything with those five other people. For example, we ate together, did volunteer work, did devotions, and more. We would wake up early every morning, eat breakfast, and do devotions. And we would have an Ask the Pastor time and then group prayer. There were several pastors from different churches that spent the week with us. During Ask the Pastor time, all the pastors would sit on the stage and allow the youth to ask any biblical questions we wanted. Someone would ask a question, one of the pastors would answer. After that, we'd hang out for a couple hours and then leave for our outreach sites. We went to a different site every day. The sites we went to were Inner City Buffalo, Lackawanna, and Niagara Falls. Each day at every location we went to, there's a specific church that we worked with that would be our site for the day where our event would take place. I was part of the group that walked around and gave out flyers for the event. We went door to door asking people and handing out flyers. If we saw someone walking on the sidewalk, we would say hi, strike up a conversation, and end up inviting them to the event. One time we went up to a house, knocked on the door, the woman opened the door and the dog ran out. She looked at me and said, "Go chase my dog." Everyone started laughing. Got the dog after like a few miles. While we walked around inviting people, there's another group that would stay back at the site and begin preparing food for the event. There's also a bunch of people that would stay at the site and be available for prayer if anyone wanted. The event would start in the afternoon around 2 p.m. and go for several hours. There was music and a message for everyone. My group would walk around for the majority of the event and just keep inviting people even while the event was happening. The event was very informal. It was outside. We put outdoor games with the kids and had giveaway prizes. Then after the food and games, there would be a time to sit down and listen to a gospel message. After the message, the speaker would announce that if anyone wants prayer, to find one of us wearing a yellow t-shirt. We were all wearing yellow t-shirts, so I got to pray with a bunch of kids throughout the week. It was crazy to hear all the different situations that people were in and what their prayer requests were. It was nice to be able to pray for them and show them that there are people who care about them and tell them about God who also cares about them. When the event was over, the kids' parents would pick them up. We would pack up our stuff and go back to the New Covenant Church. When we got back to the church, we would eat dinner. Some days we'd do group bonding activities with our small group and have competitions against other groups. Other nights we went for a walk with our group or would break into small groups to pray. I met a lot of interesting people and heard a lot of awesome testimonies throughout the week. One of the guys that we spoke and prayed with was a man who used to be in a lot of trouble with the law. He was in jail waiting for his court date to come. And one day when he was in lunch, he overheard someone talking about God, which intrigued him and led him to begin praying. His relationship with God started from his jail cell. When his court date came, he was found innocent and the charges were dropped. He saw that God had answered his prayers and decided to change his life around. He got back on track, went to college to be a surgeon, got back in touch with his family, and now he's a devoted Christian who loves the Lord. I also met a guy who was a former Marine. His leg got blown off in combat. He told me that when he's on deployment, his buddy asked him if he was a believer, and he said no. His buddy told him he should try it out and gave him a Bible. He began reading it while he's in the field, and he said he got emotional and could feel the presence of God. I always hear about people going out of the country for a mission trip, and I've never been on a mission trip. But Breakout made me realize you don't have to go out of the country to do mission work. The areas we went, especially in inner city Buffalo, were not the best areas. There were abandoned houses everywhere and people living in not very nice conditions. It really affected me to see this is right around the corner from where we are now. Everyone who I met throughout the week, whether it was the people I met at the sites or the other youth that I was at the conference with, they all had a huge impact on me. Their stories and testimonies show them that I'm not alone in my struggles. These people really cared about me and getting to know who I am. They showed me what it means to invest in another person and how to care about people, other people, the way that the Lord cares about us. I had a great time at Breakout, meeting new people and getting closer to God. I would definitely do this again, and I hope to see somebody there with me next year. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lucas Summer, and I am 12 years old. On March 11th, a group of us from youth group, as well as some adults, packaged meals for people in need in Sierra Leone with the organization Let Them LOL. If you don't know, LOL stands for Laugh Out Loud. The name of the organization came about because of one guy's unique laugh. He was the one who started the organization. When they were just starting out trying to raise money, they created a ringtone of this guy's laugh, and people would pay $3 for it. All of the proceeds went directly to bringing clean water to those without it. That is how they came up with the name, Let Them LOL. We packaged 500 bags, each of which holds enough food for 6 people, meaning we packaged a little over 3,000 meals. The meals each consisted of lentil beans, rice, dehydrated vegetables, and this very strange protein powder / flavoring, which looked like the flavoring for ramen. But apparently it was not that. It was the most expensive thing in the meal. There were 3 stations with 5 people at each one. After pouring the food into the bag, we had to seal the bags ourselves using a bag sealer. Every person had their own job, whether it be putting the beans in the bag or sealing the bag. At my station, I had the job of putting the vegetables and protein powder in the package. Abby weighed the bag and sealed it. The bags had to weigh between 450 and 500 grams. Jacob was putting rice in the bag, and Kanan was putting lentils in the bag. According to the person working there, the cost of each meal we packaged was about 25 cents. I asked if I could buy a meal from them for $10, but she said I couldn't. She told me that someone had already offered $20, so I was beat to the chase. LOL. No pun intended. She said they have had many people ask about buying a meal themselves, just to try, so they might consider selling them as a fundraiser in the future. If you do the math, $10 would be enough for 240 meals, so it might be beneficial to sell them. We tried to make as many bags as possible, so we were working very fast. Abby was trying to work so fast that while going to get more rice, she ended up spilling a whole bag of rice all over the place. The person who was working there showed us a tour of what the kids in Sierra Leone live like. All of the pictures that they have in their building and all of the pictures that she showed us were of families, children, and villages that they worked directly with. She had pictures of the children who were malnourished, showing us how if one is malnourished, their stomach sticks out. It was very sad to see all those pictures, and I'm glad that we were able to help them in some way. After we were done packaging the meals, we boxed them all up and got to write encouraging messages on the boxes like, "God loves you." We also wrote the church's name on all the boxes so when they are sent to the villages, they can see what church the meals came from. We ended up filling about 10 boxes with 50 packages each. Inside the facility, there was a large shipping crate that was about 40 feet long and 10 feet tall. In order to send any meals over, they would need to fill up a whole shipping container. They said they keep this empty shipping crate in their facility to show volunteers as an example of how many boxes they need to have packaged before they can send any meals to Sierra Leone. We spent about an hour and a half packaging meals. We had so much fun that some of us were asking if we could come back before we were even finished. It was nice to know that we were able to do a small part in helping those that are less fortunate while having some fun at the same time. Let Them LOL does a lot more than just packaging meals. They raise funds to build fresh water wells for impoverished areas, and as of January 2017, 99 wells have been completed, which has brought clean water to over 35,000 people. They also work alongside certain villages and the people to ensure health and quality of life. They have even started their own complex in Sierra Leone, where they have built and recently finished a full primary school. They provide education to 353 impoverished children and provide care to 20 orphaned children. They have something called a poultry project, which provides jobs as well as nutritious and safe food for the children that they care for. They are in the process of building a medical facility as well as sanitary bathroom facilities. Let Them LOL was created in October of 2009. Within the first 6 weeks, they had the funds to build their first clean water well in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Within a year, there were funds for 12 water wells. So many people in the community have become inspired and empowered by this organization, and after volunteering and learning even more about them, the youth group has also become inspired. They have the option for you to take home these plastic containers. They ask that you fill them up with change and then bring them back to help provide more meals for more families. The youth group has decided to bring some plastic containers back with us and ask that if you feel led to partner with this organization, we all have the containers in the Father Amond Hall for you to drop some change in as you go by. We would love to give back to this organization because we believe strongly in what they are doing and would love to show our support. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Caden. I want to thank Brielle, our youth coordinator, for overseeing worship this morning, the setup, and for the good work she's done the last year and a half. And Abby, who Lucas was talking about so much, is his older sister, and she's sitting right behind him. And I want to thank her because she volunteers and helps out with the youth group quite a bit. And I think the gist of what they were sharing is twofold, that God does make a difference in our lives, especially when we follow Him in Christ, and that we are to reach out with Christ's love and His light to those in our community. That's what life is all about, serving the Lord and growing in His love and growing in our love with one another. So thank you again. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us in this life, and we know, Lord, that you bless us to be a blessing to others, and I thank you that the youth here have been a blessing to us this morning, just to share or to hear how you have worked in their hearts and also to see them involved in many of the aspects of the liturgy. We pray your continued blessing upon them. We pray your blessing upon Brielle and Abby, and we ask that you would help us all grow closer to you, and as we seek and serve others in the name of Christ, let us not forget what is at the heart of our relationship with you, and that is selfless love. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.